be free from your burden of sin. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, there is power, wonder working power in the blood.
Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods reminding you that there is still power in the blood. And if you want to have the peace that passes all understanding, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today I want to talk to you about resentment is poison. As we watch prophecies being fulfilled daily and hear the reports about the great reset that they say is coming, it becomes very frightening. And you need to ask, am I ready for the rapture described in the New Testament? I want to read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, where it says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive remain until the coming of the Lord will be by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." And then again, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 54, or 254, it describes when Jesus will come and catch up all Christians to take them to the marriage feast of the Lamb. And I'm going to read that to you. "Behold, I tell you the mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." You know, I want to be ready when Jesus comes to get his church. And a lot of people say, well, if I thought the Lord was coming right away, I would get down on my knees and repent. There will be no time to prepare then. The Bible says it'll be done in a twinkling of an eye. And that just is immediately. So we must be ready now if we plan to go to heaven with him. I certainly don't want to have be left behind to be here to face the great tribulation that is described in Revelations. And experience all the wrath of Satan and the Antichrist. How can I know I'm prepared to be with Christ? Well, I need to make certain that everything is surrendered to God's will. That means all anger, lust, bitterness, and resentments must be surrendered to Christ and your heart cleansed from these negative killers of your spiritual walk. You know, many Christians are harboring bitterness in one form or another, not realizing that these negative attitudes can ruin their relationship to Christ and cause them to miss the most important event ever, going to heaven to be with Jesus. Listen, you cannot entertain a bitter spirit if you want to go to heaven. Satan has a way to disguise sin when he tempts us so that we think we are the ones where the thoughts are originating. And we think we're justified to feel as we do. And so when a thought comes in our mind that says, well, I wonder, I feel, it's probably Satan in his super disguise, and he uses it to defeat Christians all the time. For that reason, I want to talk to you today about resentment. Resentment is poison. It's like acid that destroys the container where it's being kept. Resentment is sin and will keep you out of heaven. You probably can't deal with it on your own, but Jesus Christ can cleanse your heart if you give him permission to do so. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Jesus gave a startling warning about forgiveness. He said, "If you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." Why, when we want revival, doesn't it come? We want souls saved, and we want to see God's kingdom advanced. We want to see people grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ, but too often we're dead on the vine. We make excuses and rationalize why miracles don't happen, but that's all they are, excuses. You know, it's the music, somebody said. I just don't like the music at church. Or the pastor doesn't dress right. Or he isn't dignified enough. Or there's no spiritual food. It's our location. Too much crime around or something for people to want to come. Well, it just doesn't meet my needs. Excuses, excuses, excuses. 1,000 excuses why we aren't growing. But that's all they are, is just dumb excuses. Have you ever found a potato that's gone bad? A spot of rot in the potato that must be surgically removed when you serve it at a meal, it's going to be wholesome. Worse, if you haven't checked the potatoes for a while, the rot might have spread through the whole bag, making all the potatoes unusable. You know, there's nothing except they're ready for the garbage can. Rotten potatoes stink, and they're unappetizing. They're unusable. They're contagious to the whole wholesome bag of potatoes. Leave one in there, and it'll begin to rot all the way through. You can't use rotten potatoes for a meal because, well, they are rotten. The same thing happens in the church among Christians. Something happened causing bitterness, and we just can't let it go. Satan will gladly help you understand how rotten your situation is and how you ought to feel mad about it or sad about it or beat up about it. He knows that God can't use you if you're filled with a rotten spirit. You know, when we left Deer Valley Church, the Nazarene, I was one of those situations where there were a lot of things happening. It just seemed like it was time for us to go. And I remember we arrived in Stevenson, Washington, a small church, and I still had an attitude about some of the things that had happened at Deer Valley that caused us to have to move. I had been now demoted. I had pastored the biggest church on the Rocky Mountain District in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I had pastored Deer Valley Church, the Nazarene, and it was running good numbers. I had pastored much larger churches, and here I was in this little bitty church. There were some ladies there, one named Tina, another Peggy. There were a couple twins, and the ex-pastor, Steve, that they matched my attitude. They resented me coming to be their pastor. And the result was horrible, rebellious, uninspirational worship services. The women's trio sang to defy me, not to glorify God. The song leaders also copped an attitude. And all this did not make the service conducive to worship. It did not help anybody in their spiritual walk. After 2 miserable years of the poor me's, God confronted me in my tiny office. I was feeling like, Lord, I've had so much better churches. I've had such bigger churches. Here I am stuck in this little bitty thing and they don't even like me. And God spoke audibly to me to get my attention. And it's only happened twice in my life that I've heard God with my ears speak to me. But he said that day, "I thought I called you to preach." I said, "You did." He said, "I thought you said you'd go wherever I sent you." I said, "I did." Then he said, "Then what's the problem?" And I said, "I guess there isn't a problem. Lord, please forgive me." Well, after that confrontation with God, my attitude changed, and I became excited about the church, and soon the church's rebellious attitude changed, and we went on and had five very productive, satisfying years. You know, God couldn't use me or the church for his purpose as long as resentment caused bitterness that was destroying us. People harboring resentment don't realize the price that they pay for the luxury that they think they have a right to have. I mean, friendships are broken, jobs are lost, homes are demoralized, psychosomatic illnesses develop. The once vibrant relationship that people had with God fades and loses the romance. Personalities grow bitter and brittle and unbending, and resilience and flexibility are lost from the personality. Emotions become unstable. Once a productive energy now turns inward and productivity drops, effectiveness dwindles, and Satan scores a victory. All this happens when resentment is left unchecked. It's the worst disease of the mind. Resentment comes from a variety of situations involving perceived wrongs, whether they're real or just imagined, things that have been done to us which brings feelings of injustice or humiliation. Resentment turns to bitterness, an acid that only destroys the container, you being the container. How can you expect God to use something full of rot? Just like you would not use a rotten potato in your cooking. What are the effects of resentment? Well, resentment is strongest when it's caused by a person we have been close to. An injury causing resentful feelings inflicted by a friend or loved one makes us feel betrayed, and these feelings can have deep effects that brings on all kinds of negative emotions. I remember when we were in Pullman, Washington, and there was some gossip going on in the church about things that were not, they didn't think were right, and people wanted to blame the pastor. And I remember one of the ladies that I always thought was backing me all this 100%. She said, "Well, I'm not going to take sides." And I felt very angry about that because she was supposed to be one of the ones that would stand with me no matter what. You know, resentment is emotionally debilitating. It causes many negative results like touchiness or edginess when we think of the person we resent or the situation that almost destroyed us. We get more bitter. We can say there's no anger or hatred towards this person and yet be provoked to anger when they receive positive recognition from something. Resentment has long-term effects like developing hostile, cynical, sarcastic attitudes that splice into other relationships, lack of personal and emotional growth, and trouble being open to those that we love. You know, trouble trusting others. We have trouble trying to, because we're afraid we're going to be hurt. You know, the loss of self-confidence and overcompensation also comes with resentment. What's interesting is resentment doesn't affect the person that we resent. I mean, they could care less, usually. It just deteriorates our relationship with them. To further compound these negative effects, resentment drags us down into depression and into certain kinds of illness. Our resentful feelings destroy communication with the person we think wronged us, resulting in more miscommunication and causing even more resentment. Resentment has the unique quality of being internalized, where it does further emotional and psychological damage, but that still doesn't impact the person that we resent. They might not even know the feelings we have towards them. So, people hang on to their resentment because they feel justified in feeling the way they do. Justified or not, nobody wanting to be happy and productive can afford to hold on to resentment. Nobody in the Bible has more reason to harbor resentment than Joseph. Remember, he could have fought back or perhaps just sulked in self-pity or floundered trying to use other ineffective defense mechanisms. He did the only thing a strong person does. He rose above the people, the circumstances, the places which might have provoked resentment within him. His brothers, remember, rejected him and sold him into slavery. He was bought in Egypt by Potiphar and Potiphar's wife after Joseph proved himself to be the most faithful servant and was in charge of everything. Potiphar's wife lied about him and said he tried to attack her, and he was thrown into prison. The butler, while he was in prison, you know, he and the baker had dreams, and Joseph interpreted the dreams, and finally the butler was reinstated back to Pharaoh, and he said, Joseph said to him, "Remember me when you come to Pharaoh." He didn't, not for 2 years. Joseph wasted precious time in prison, serving time for a crime that he did not commit. Well, how do you stop resentment from taking over? What is the cure for resentment? Resentment that crops up on the job or in the home or at church or in social relationships spreads like gangrene to all other areas of life, destroying your happiness. Only radical surgery by the Holy Spirit can restore life to what's supposed to be. Remember, if you have a potato, you cut that rod out. Well, you got to go to God, and ask the Holy Spirit to take that resentment out of your heart, out of your mind. The only cure for resentment is to be willing to receive the cleansing of the Holy Spirit. A person may rationalize he has a right to harbor resentment, and these feelings are justified because of the injuries that he suffered. He may excuse himself, saying resentment is a problem that everybody faces, and Satan will do everything he can to keep that feeling going. Psychologist James J. Messina recommended 5 steps to facing and resolving resentful feelings. He said, first, identify the source of the resentful feelings and what the person did to cause these feelings. Second, develop a new way of looking at past, present, and future life, including how resentment has affected your life and how letting go of resentment can improve your future. Third, write a letter to the person you resent, listing the offenses and explaining the circumstances, and then forgive and let go of it. But do not send the letter. This is for your own healing, not because you want to foster something in that person. Think about number 4. Think about a future without the negative impact of resentment. And 5, if resentful feelings still linger, go back to step 1 and begin again. Now, this doesn't change the fact. Resentment is sin. Sin needs to be confessed to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, then, when we confess and turn our hearts back towards God, will forgive us and help us to get on top of the problem. Because the consequences of resentful feelings are dangerous, they need to be dealt with. Like the rotten potato, resentment and bitterness stink. They make us unusable to God. They are contagious to those around us. Resentment poisons relationships and must be handled by introspection and forgiveness. There is no solution for sin except forgiveness and cleansing by the Holy Spirit. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You know, too many people let the problem fester instead of bringing it out to God. They just let it fester, thinking that someday it'll just go away and things will be right. You cannot grow rotten out of a potato, and you cannot grow rotten out of your spirit. You need to have God help you take care of it. I was reading one time about the convicted killer, Wesley Dodd. He said the reason he turned so rotten is because his dad wouldn't come to his concerts, and somehow or other it developed a bitter spirit. He wanted to lash out at people, at the world, became a murderer. You know, Jim Corbett, in his book, Man Eaters of the Kumonen wrote about man-eating tigers. He said there was a African village, or an Indian village, I'm sorry, that was having all kinds of problems because a tiger was coming in at night and going into some of the huts and killing the people there. He was hired to hunt this man-eating tiger that had been killing villagers at night. He finally brought the killer tiger down, and when they skinned it, they discovered it had an injured paw that had festered, making it impossible to hunt down other animals because they were too fast. Only man was slow enough not to get away. You know, we want to blame others for our resentful feelings and tell ourselves we have a right to feel this way, but it's really our choice. Remember, resentment is sin. God cures sin when we confess it to Him. Why let this emotional cancer eat you when God has the cure for you? I heard about it when we were studying philosophy in college. They talked about a Stoic boy who had stolen a fox, and he was arrested and brought in, and he stood there denying that he stole the fox until he collapsed, and they noticed that underneath his robe, he had a fox that had been chewing at him and finally hit his heart, and he died. And you know, he was trying to hide the fact that he was in great pain. We want revival. Revival won't happen until God cleanses out the resentment and bitterness, until we get rid of the fox that's chewing on us. Remember the potato? You must get rid of the rot before you can serve God. Only then will it be appetizing, usable, and desirable. Only then will the potato be worthy of being served on the dinner table. A teacher told her students to bring a clear plastic bag and a sack of potatoes to school. For every person they refused to forgive in their life's experience, they chose a potato. They would write the name of that person on the potato and write the date and put it in the plastic bag. Some of their bags were quite heavy. She told them to carry this bag with them everywhere they went for 1 week, putting it beside their bed at night or on the car seat when they were driving or next to their desk there at school or at work. The hassle of lugging this around with them demonstrated what a weight they were carrying spiritually and how they had to pay attention to it all the time, not forget it and leaving it in some embarrassing places. Well, naturally, the potatoes deteriorated. They became a nasty slime with very foul odor. You know, resentment is a dangerous emotion that can destroy peace, relationship, and faith. We can have, like those potatoes, become very foul odor and very undesirable to be around people. We need to give that to God. The Bible warns against allowing bitterness to take root and calls believers to a life of forgiveness, trust, and love. God does not ask His people to ignore pain, but He does ask them to have them let go of the resentment and trust Him with justice. Remember, so many times we want to get even, but God says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." That's not our job, that's His. Through prayer and the renewal of the mind and the power of the Holy Spirit, resentment can be replaced with peace and joy and well-being. Choosing forgiveness does not mean weakness, it means strength. It means refusing to let the past control our future. God offers freedom to those who are willing to release their burdens and walk in His love. When resentment is surrendered to God, healing begins and true joy is restored. Too often, we think forgiveness is a gift that we give to the other person, but clearly it's better a gift for us than it is even for them. Remember, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The price is much too high to continue letting resentment dictate your life. Give it to God. Let Him heal you and set you free. Find the joy of being free from this burden of sin. One of the most powerful ways to overcome resentment is by renewing the mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 encourages us, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Instead of dwelling on the past pains and hurts, believers can fill their minds with God's truth. Through prayer, scripture, and guidance of the Holy Spirit, our thoughts can be reshaped to reflect grace instead of bitterness. The more someone focuses on God and His love, the harder it is for resentment to take root and take over our lives. You know, if you're fighting this kind of thing with bitterness and resentment, you're carrying a burden you don't need to carry. You're allowing something to rot that doesn't need to rot. You just need to say, "Jesus, please forgive me. Come into my heart and cleanse my spirit and make me the person you want me to be." Well, God bless you. I hope that if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, this will be the day that you'll confess your sins to Him. You'll say, "God, help me to turn my life around and go the way you want me to go instead of taking this negative route that's going to end in hell." Dear Father, I pray that you help each one that's been listening to this sermon today. They might search their hearts out, and if there's things that keep them from being the people you want them to be, they will confess them, whether it's bitterness, anger, any of the byproducts of having a bitter spirit. I'd pray, God, that they will allow you to cleanse them, and they will be set free. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. I sure hope that you are listening and paying attention, because I believe God laid this message on my heart for some of you. And if God's talking to you, take care of it. Let Him have full control. I would encourage you, if you haven't already, find my podcast on my website. Again, that's lowercase, churchofthegalilean.com, all run together. churchofthegalilean.com, and you'll find the sermons that I preached online clear back to 2020. I hope if you need to get in touch with me, you'll write me at Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029, or you'll call me or text me at 623-845-2741. God bless you. I'm praying that God will give you the victory and that you will find the greatest joy is having a right relationship with Jesus Christ. God bless.